Bochot abaot, ladies, and welcome to another edition of Torah Anytime. I hope you had an amazing week filled with beracha and siyata dishmaya. I want to remind everyone that Be'ezrat Hashem Yitbarach, this coming Yom Rishon, in the evening, this coming Sunday night, we are going to have Be'ezrat Hashem sponsored in Teaneck, New Jersey, another beautiful shiur. For more information, please log on to ohelsara.com and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can get the information there. I do want to take another moment to thank those women who reach out to me with feedback and comments about the shiurim. I appreciate your input, your encouragement, and your support. And I pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to inspire us all with the Kedusha of Torah and the enlightenment of Ruchaniyut. Let's begin, because we have a lot to do today. This week's parasha, Parashat Vayechi. In this week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu blesses his son Yosef HaTzadik, Yesod Olam, Alav Shalom, with the following beracha. Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Alei Ain, Banot Tzaada Alei Shor. A charming son is Yosef, a son charming to the eye. The women strode along to see him. Yosef HaTzadik was a beautiful boy. He wasn't just charming. He was handsome, very, very extremely handsome. All the girls used to come out of their homes just to be able to take a look at him. And Chachamim in the Gemara of Berachot explained that from this pasuk we learn that the Ayin Hara doesn't affect or control the descendants of Yosef. As a matter of fact, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan alav shalom was an exceptionally beautiful man. His beauty is described as yotze min haklal. It wasn't a typical beauty for a man. One day, his talmidim approached him and they asked him about his beauty. They said, "Lo ka misitfei mar me'en abisha? Aren't you afraid of the ayin hara? You're so beautiful. Aren't you afraid that the people will put on you an ayin hara?" And Rabbi Yochanan answered them, "Ana mizara de Yosef. Ka'atina de la shalta bei eina bisha." He says, "I'm a descendant of Yosef HaTzadik, of whom the Ayin Hara did not affect. Dichtiv, ben porat Yosef, ben porat ale Ayin." As it says, a charming son is Yosef, a son charming to the eye. Al tikri ale Ayin. Don't read the words as ale Ayin. Ela, rather, read it as ole ayin, that Yosef conquered the ayin hara. Not only that, but Rabbi Yossi alav shalom points out that Yosef's children are blessed by Yaakov Avinu with the following words: Ve'yidgu larov bekerev haaretz. May they multiply abundantly like fish in the midst of the land. Asks Rabbi Yossi, why were they compared to fish? Madagim shebayam, mai mechasin alehem. Just like the fish that are in the ocean and the waters cover them, ve'en ayin hara sholetet bahem. And therefore, because no eye sees them, the ayin hara cannot affect them. Af zaro shel Yosef, en ayin hara sholetet bahem. So too with the descendants of Yosef, the ayin hara doesn't have dominion over them. Why is Yosef and all his descendants blessed with this beracha? Rashi HaKadosh Alav HaShalom explains, because a person whose eye didn't want to possess what belonged to someone else deserves such a beracha. How is this related to Yosef? Because Yosef saw Potiphar's wife, who was very beautiful, and he didn't want what belonged to his master. Therefore, the Ayin Hara has no effect over him or his descendants. Ladies, this is an amazing thing. We see from here a tremendous yesod concerning the avoidance of Ayin Hara and its damages. The Gemara actually talks about the damage that Ayin Hara can cause a person, and it's very frightening. Rashi says that when people suffer from all kinds of illnesses, usually it's because they've been affected by the Ayin Hara. You hear this? He says, "Davar shekol achalaim tluim bo, vezo ayin hara." All the sicknesses are dependent upon the ayin hara. Not only that, but even more frightening, listen to this, ladies, is the Gemara's discussion of the holy Talmid Chacham named Rav, Alav Shalom. The Gemara tells us that Rav would go to the cemetery, and he did what he did. We'll soon learn what he did. And after he did what he did, he said the following words. 99% of the people who are buried here died from Ayin Hara, and 1% died Bederech Eretz, of natural causes. It's a little scary if you think about it. What does it mean that Rav did what he did, and then he told us who died from Ayin Hara and who died from natural causes? The holy Baal HaAruch, Alav HaShalom, informs us of what Rav did. What did he do? Shenat'a ilanot al hakvarim. He planted trees beside the graves. Vehasva'im shelo yotziu perach. And the trees that didn't produce any flowers next to the graves, those were the people that he realized died from Ayin Hara. Ela otam shenot'im al otam shemetu bizmanam. And the trees that were planted next to the graves of those who died of natural causes, those trees did produce flowers. That's how Rav knew who died from the Ayin Hara and who died from natural causes. He knew according to the flowers that grew or didn't grow on the trees. Therefore, Chachamim reveals something astounding to us, ladies. It seems that it's not only the direct descendants of Yosef HaTzadik who aren't affected by the Ayin Hara. Rather, each person in Am Yisrael has the ability to be saved from the Ayin Hara. How? Al yedei sheyomar al atzmo shehu mizar'o shel Yosef. He should say about himself that he's a descendant of Yosef. That's what it says in the Gemara of Berachot, by the way. The Gemara says, whoever enters a city and he's suddenly afraid of the Ayin Hara, he should take his right thumb and place it into his left hand, like into the palm of your left hand. And then you take your left thumb and you place it into the palm of the right hand. And then he should say the following words. Ana ploni bar ploni mizara de Yosef she'ein ayin hara sholetet bo. You say, for example, I am Kineret Sara bat Mercedes Mesoda, the descendant of Yosef, of whom the Ayin Hara does not control. Shenemar, just as it says, Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Ole Ayin. Ladies, this is very fascinating, very interesting, extremely interesting, and there are, of course, a few questions that we need to ask and address. It seems from this Gemara that Chachamim are pretty much giving advice to a person who's afraid of Ayin Hara, and they're telling that person, if you find yourself in a situation where you're afraid of the Ayin Hara, just say that you're a descendant of Yosef HaTzadik and you'll be saved from the Ayin Hara. Now, ladies, think about it. There are many Jews in Am Yisrael that are not direct descendants of Yosef HaTzadik. Maybe they come from another tribe. Maybe they come from Levi. Maybe they come from who knows where. So how can Chachamim ask us to lie and say that we're descendants of Yosef? After all, if you're not really a direct descendant of Yosef and you say these untruthful words, then what good is it going to do you? How can you be saved from the Ayin Hara by telling a lie and saying that you're a descendant of Yosef HaTzadik? How's that going to do you any good? So the Chida, Rabbi Chaim Yosef David Azulay Alav HaShalom, explains that Yosef HaTzadik received a special reward from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was Zoicha that just like Bnei Yisrael are named after his father, so too Bnei Yisrael are named after Yosef. What does that mean? I'll explain. We are called Bnei Yisrael, or we're also referred to as Bnei Yaakov. But David HaMelech in Sefer Tehilim writes the following. Ga'alta bizoa amecha Bnei Yaakov Ve'Yosef Sela. You redeemed your people with your arm, the sons of Yaakov and Yosef forever. Oh, all of us are referred to not only as Bnei Yaakov, but also as Bnei Yosef. Therefore, based on the words of David HaMelech, you can proudly say that you're a descendant of Yosef and not feel guilty that you're speaking an untruth. You know, ladies, that if we just left you with this answer, the shiur would be over. Everybody could go home pretty much. Everybody could turn off their computers and go to sleep. obviously, there's more to this picture. So first of all, before we begin to discuss the topic of Ayin Hara, we have to understand how Ayin Hara Bechlal has the power to harm you. Because after all, don't we believe be'emunah shlema that nothing and no one can harm us if it's not decreed from Shemaim? Think about it. As a matter of fact, the Gemara of Chulin says, En adam nokef etzba'o milemata, a person doesn't injure his finger here on earth, Ela im ken machrizim alav milemala, unless it was decreed against him in Shemaim. You hear this? If this is true, and a person is a good person, and he doesn't sin, how could it be that the Ayin Hara can harm him? And even if he did sin, and it was decreed from Shemaim that he should be harmed through the channels of Ayin Hara, how can the Chachamim come along and give us a advice, a zgula, against Ayin Hara? Aren't they intercepting and getting in the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decree? So let's begin to answer some of these questions by discussing the Gemara that informs us that Yosef isn't affected by the Ayin Hara because his eye didn't desire what doesn't belong to him. He didn't desire his master's wife, Eshet Potiphar. And for that reason, the Ayin Hara doesn't have dominion over him. What's the connection between Yosef not desiring with his eyes Eshet Potiphar and being saved from the Ayin Hara? Ladies, Chachamim revealed to us the secret of the power of Ayin Hara and how it has the ability to affect you and to harm you. And they also reveal to us how a person can see to it that the Ayin Hara does not affect them. So I hope everybody's listening very carefully, because I know many of you listeners out there hold that there is such a thing as Ayin Hara. So everybody's like probably wondering, save me from the Ayin Hara. How can you save yourself from the Ayin Hara? Chachamim say, by following in the ways of Yosef HaTzadik. Ayin shelo ratzta lazun mima she'en lo. An eye that doesn't desire to possess what he doesn't own, and Ayin Hara sholetet bo. The evil eye does not control him. So, simply speaking, what this means is that there is a mechanism in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up called Midah Keneged Midah, measure for measure. When you do something, whether good or not good, there's a boomerang effect of that action. You get back what you gave, measure for measure. So if you, chas v'shalom, have an ayin ra'ah concerning others, where you're jealous of what your neighbor has, and you covet, you desire what he owns, then midah keneged midah comes into effect. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows other people's ayin hara on you to harm you, chas v'shalom. And eventually, whatever you already possess is taken away from you. It's a scary thought. But if you have an ayin tova, and your eye doesn't look upon what other people have, and you don't desire what they own, then midah keneged midah, someone else's ayin hara cannot affect you or take away from you what is yours. And we learn this idea from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, alav shalom, had 5 talmidim, 5 students. One day he tells them, Tze'u ure'u eizohi derech yeshara sheidbak ba ha'adam. Go out and see what is the best trait for a person to acquire. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkonus, alav shalom, came back and he told the Rebbe, Ein tova, a good eye is a wonderful trait to acquire. Chachamim tell us, ladies, that having an ayin tova, a good eye, is a very high level of emunah in Hashem, and it means having an elevated level of avodat hamidot. This is something that's not simple to achieve. It's easy to say, but harder to actually accomplish this level in everyday life, because a person's yetzer hara by nature is always seeking to sin, and it tends to cause a person to become jealous. This is the yetzer hara's way of trapping you into this net. That's why when a person, we're going to call this person Sam sees his friend succeeding and rising in rank, whether it's in the world of Gashmiot or Ochaniot. His friend is Baruch Hashem making a nice panasa, and he becomes wealthy. Or Maybe Sam sees that his friend rises in levels of ruchaniyut and he becomes a big talmid chacham. And now his friend is known all over the city. Everybody knows who his friend is. What happens? It starts to bother Sam. Maybe Sam barely has parnasa, and no one knows that he's also a chacham. No one really pays much attention to him. So it could be that Sam may become jealous of his friend, and he might start to think the following. What am I? Less than him? I'm not any less than him. Not in chokhmah, not in Torah, and not in Yirat Shamayim. So how come he rose to greatness and me? Nobody knows who I am. Nobody looks in my direction. How come I'm still stuck down here and he's on the top of the ladder of success? In a way, we could feel badly for Sam because what he's really saying is that he has a low self-esteem. What we need to remember is that a person who has true emunah and Yirat Shamayim has to distance himself from such thoughts. We should all strive to ingrain within us the midah tovah, the positive character trait of not looking and focusing on what other people have or desiring something that doesn't belong to us, because we have to believe that everything we have is min hashamayim. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't yet provide us with wealth or with kavod, it's because it's not in our best interest. It might not be good for our neshama. Therefore, each of us has to strive to rise to a higher level than what we sink to, and we have to fight to have an Ein Tova. You know what an Ein Tova is? An Ein Tova doesn't only mean that the Ein Hara won't be able to control you, or that you won't be jealous of what your friend possesses. No, it's even deeper than this. Having an Ein Tova means to be filled with simcha and with excitement that your friend is succeeding. The Gemara says, Tov Ein Hu Yevorach. A person who has an Ein Tova is blessed. Do you know why? Because a person who's happy for his friend's success, such a person merits that he himself will be given all the berachot from Shamayim. Ladies, you just learned how someone else has the power to harm you with the Ein Hara. The Ein Hara that you sometimes suffer from comes from the fact that you yourself had an Ein Hara on one of your friends. That you yourself were jealous of one of your friends. And for that reason, somebody else's Ein Hara on you was able to take effect. Like we said earlier, it works. Midah keneged midah. But if you're going to work hard at overcoming the Yetzer Hara of jealousy, and you're going to strengthen your emunah and bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and believe that Hashem provides every person with exactly what Hashem feels that person needs, no less and no more, then you could be saved from the Ein Hara. But if you chas v'shalom desire what doesn't belong to you, it's because you forgot that everything comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. You start to desire all kinds of things out there and you do whatever you can to acquire what someone else possesses, because you forgot that what you have was given to you as a blessing from Shamayim. Nobody else has what you have. It's yours, and it should be special to you. But if you are busy wanting what someone else has, then the Ein Hara has the power to harm you, and eventually, you could chas v'shalom lose what you already possess. This is what Chachamim meant when they spoke about the greatness of Yosef, and that his eye didn't desire what didn't belong to him. And that's why the Ein Hara couldn't control him. Yosef HaTzadik teaches us a lesson in Emunat Hashem. Yosef believed that everything he had, and even everything he was lacking, and all the suffering and all the pain that he endured, was all Me'et Hashem. Not only that, but he also believed that the nisyonot that he went through and the pain that he suffered, that was all the rachamim and the chesed of Hashem. As far as Yosef was concerned, the pain he had to endure was the chesed that led to some final purpose, some final good purpose. So let's analyze this idea further, ladies. When Bilam HaRasha wanted to curse the Jewish people, The Pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar says the following: Vayisa Vil'am et Enav, Vayar Yisrael Shochen Lishvatav, Vayehi Alav Ruach Elokim. Bil'am raised his eyes and saw Bnei Yisrael dwelling according to its tribes, and the Spirit of God rested upon him. What does this mean? Rashi HaKadosh explains that the words Vayisa Bil'am et Enav means Bikesh lehachnis bahem ayin hara. Bil'am wanted to put an ayin hara on Am Yisrael. But what happened? Shochen lishvatav. Bil'am saw each tribe, each shevet, dwelling by itself. They weren't intermingling with each other. He saw that the openings of their tents didn't face each other. Why? So that they shouldn't be able to look into each other's tents and see what goes on in the tent of their neighbor. You hear this? That's the extent of what they did then. And when he saw this, he was suddenly infused with the Spirit of God, and he felt in his heart that he shouldn't curse the Jewish people. Ladies, Bil'am wanted to put an ayin hara on all of Am Yisrael. But when he saw that each tribe is minding their own business, when he saw that Jews were so careful that they didn't have the doors of their tents face their neighbors so that they shouldn't be able to look inside and be jealous of what their neighbor has, when he saw this, he wasn't able to curse the Jewish people. Ladies, what he saw on that day was the positive midah of Yosef HaTzadik. Everybody in Am Yisrael was living according to this midah tova of Yosef. Nobody desired what their neighbors had. They were happy with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. You know what we learned from this? When a Jewish person is afraid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with so much beracha and he's afraid of an ayin hara, he should strive to be like Yosef HaTzadik. That person should start to have an ayin tova concerning everything and everyone. He shouldn't be jealous of what others have, and even more so, he should be happy when others succeed. And if he does this, it's going to protect what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. Now you could understand why Chachamim advised a person who's afraid of Ayin Hara to say the words, I am Sarah Bat Rivka, and I am a descendant of Yosef, of whom the Ayin Hara does not control. If you remember, we asked earlier, isn't it an untruth to say that we're descendants of Yosef when we might be descendants of another tribe? How could we tell an untruth and then expect to be saved from the Ayin Hara? Let me explain to you how saying these words isn't speaking falsehood at all. You see, a person can be a spiritual descendant of Yosef if he learns from his ways and if he develops the same midot as Yosef. If you become like Yosef and your eye doesn't desire what doesn't belong to you, then you can be called a descendant of Yosef. You're a descendant by virtue of the fact that you've adapted his midot to be your own. Just like a father teaches his child and the child follows in the ways of his father, so too, if you follow in the way of Yosef, Yosef is like your father. He becomes the father who taught you how to have emunah shlema in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he taught you to be happy with everything that you possess in life. That's the reason why Am Yisrael are not only called Bnei Yaakov, we're also referred to as Bnei Yosef, because we're told that we all have the ability to follow in Yosef's footsteps. And if we do, there's a special zgula to be protected from the Ayin Hara. So let's go back to the beginning of the shiur. If you remember, we spoke about the tzaddik, Rav, who would visit the cemetery, and then he would say, 99% died from the Ayin Hara, and only one died of natural causes, remember? Concerning this matter, Chachamim tell us that the root of many illnesses in the world comes from the sickness of the heart. What does that mean? They teach us that many times when a person doesn't have an Ayin Tova and he's busy desiring what others possess, his heart begins to hurt. It hurts his heart. It pains him that he can't manage to acquire what his neighbor owns. that he can't manage to attain more money, more kavod, more glory, more chokhmah. And as a result of him focusing on this, it leads to all kinds of sicknesses lo alenu and to various troubles in life. That's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot teaches us. Hakina vehata'ava vehakavod motzi'in et ha'adam min ha'olam. Jealousy, lust, and honor remove a person from this world. Chachamim explain that a person, we'll go back to Sam for a moment, let's take Sam as an example. If Sam is always busy wanting what others have, he's in essence in a constant state of avelot. He's in a constant state of mourning. He's always crying over what he doesn't have. He always feels as though he's lacking something in his life. His mind is so occupied with these thoughts, he doesn't have time to learn properly. He doesn't have time to daven the right way. He doesn't even have time to do ma'asim tovim. Not only that, but everyone else around him, whatever food they eat, to them, it tastes sweet because they're happy with whatever's on their plate. They're happy with that food, but not Sam, because Sam is so jealous. No matter what he eats, it always tastes bitter. Chachamim say, you know when Sam's food's going to taste sweet? When his friend loses what he has. Pele. Sad. Not only that, but Chachamim teach us that even hatred has hope. Lasina yesh tikva. What does that mean? They say, let's say that a guy named Danny stole money from Sam. And now Sam feels a hatred towards Danny because he stole from him. Danny was supposed to be his friend. But if Danny returns the money and asks for mechila, it's very possible that Sam will forgive him and remove the hatred from his heart. Makes sense. But Chachamim say, this wouldn't work if Sam was jealous. If Danny stole money from Sam, and Sam develops a hatred for Danny, even if Danny returns the money and asks for forgiveness, Sam will not forgive him or stop hating him. Why? Because deep down Sam is jealous. And jealousy doesn't allow you to forgive or to love properly. You hear this? But ladies, how did Rav, the Tzaddik Rav, know that 99% of the people died from Ayin Hara while 1% died of natural causes just because he planted a tree next to their graves and if flowers grew or didn't grow, that's how he knew. What does that mean? Flowers, not flowers, trees. What is he doing planting trees anyway? What prompted Rav to plant trees next to the graves of people and watch as the trees produce flowers or not? Ladies, there is a very deep inyan in what he did. And guess to where in history I'm going to take you back to. Because somehow we always end up there. Guess where? At the very beginning. We're going back to Bereshit. Always ends up there. The holy Panim Yafot, Alav HaShalom, comments on the Pasuk in Bereshit that says, Ume'etz hada'at tov v'ra lo tuchal mimenu ki beyom achalcha mimenu mot tamut. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam HaRishon, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from it. For on the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Listen to what the Gemara says concerning this pasuk, ladies. I'm going to read you the words. It's worth it to take a moment to read the words in Lashon Kodesh, and then I'll translate them. Amru alav al malach hamavet. Chachamim say concerning the malach hamavet, the angel of death, shekulo male einaim. His entire body is covered with eyes. Oh, this is scary. Scary stuff we're learning here. Beshaat ptirato shel chole. When it comes time for a sick person, lo alenu, to perish from this world, omed me'al meroshotav. The Malach HaMavet stands over his head, in front of his head, over him. Vechervo shlufa beyado. And his sword, the Malach HaMavet sword, is held in his hand. Vetipa shel marat luyabo. And at the tip of the sword, there's a poisonous drop. כיוון שחולה רואה אותו. And when the sick person sees the מלאך המוות, when he sees the angel of death, מזדעזע, הוא פותח פיו, he's shocked, and from the shock he opens his mouth, like what? His mouth drops from shock. וזורקו לתוך פיו, and when his mouth is opened, the מלאך המוות hurls the drop into his mouth, the poisonous drop. ממנה מת, ממנה מסריח, ממנה פניו מוריקות. From this poisonous drop, the person dies. From this drop, the body begins to decompose and develops a bad odor. And from this drop, the dead person's face turns green. Ladies, this is scary. Because the panim yafot reveals an astounding insight. He tells us that this one poisonous drop that the malach hamavet puts into the mouth, hurls, we'll say, into the mouth of a person, that one drop is actually made up of three drops. It's one drop that's composed of three drops. And each of those drops has a particular function. From the first drop, the person dies, lo alenu. From the second drop, the body begins to decompose and has a bad odor. And from the third drop, the person's face turns green. Asks the Panim Yafot, where do these three drops come from? How were they created? Says the Panim Yafot, the person himself created those drops. Those three drops that then come together and become that one drop. The person himself created those drops. How so? The person himself created those three drops because during his lifetime he was drawn to three things. Which three things? Kina, ta'ava, and kavod. You hear this, ladies? Therefore, when it's time for this person to move on from this world, the malach hamavet feeds him these three drops that were created from this person's jealousy, from the person's desires that he pursued, and from the kavod that he chased after. And from these three items, he dies, he decomposes, and his face turns green. From here we learn what the sin of the Etz Hadat in Gan Eden really was. Adam and Chava ate from the Etz Hadat because of these three things, because of Kina, Ta'ava, and Kavod. Because how did the Nachash entice Chava that she should eat from the tree? What did he tell her? He said to her, Lo motamutun, ki yodeh Elokim, ki beyom achalchem imenu, ונפקחו עיניכם והייתם כאלוקים יודע טוב ורע. You won't die. It's just that God knows that on the day that you eat from this tree, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like him and like the angels in heaven who know good and evil. Oh. The Nachash awakened in Adam and Chava these three negative midot. Kina, ta'ava, and kavod. He awakened the jealousy within them, and they suddenly wanted to be like God and the angels. He stirred up the desire for the tree, and suddenly they wanted to eat from the forbidden fruit. Vatere ha'isha ki tova etz lema'achal, v'chi ta'avahu le'enayim. Suddenly the woman saw that the tree was good for eating, and it became a delight to the eye. She desired it. She had a lust for the tree suddenly. And the Nachash awakened the kavod within them. And they suddenly wanted to have the same kavod that Kadosh Baruch Hu receives. They wanted to be like God. Ladies, Chachamim tell us, if Adam would have been strong enough not to fall into the trap of the Nachash, and if he wouldn't have been drawn to the midah, the bad midah, of kina, ta'ava, and kavod, those three poisonous drops would never have been created in the world. And the Malach HaMavet wouldn't have the ammunition to use those drops against anybody. Could you imagine? Could you believe this? And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant when he told Adam, Ki biyom achalcha mimenu, mot tamut, For on the day you eat from this tree, you will surely die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Adam, on the day that you eat from this tree and you'll be drawn to the bad midot of kina, ta'ava, and kavod, you will surely die, because three poisonous drops are going to be created, which will be used by the Malach HaMavet to bring death upon a person. Don't eat from the tree, because you'll give the Malach HaMavet ammunition to feed you the poisonous drops that will bring about your own death. And these three drops will be created from your kina, your ta'ava, and the kavod that you seek. So don't do it. This is why the Mishnah says, Hakina, hata'ava, vehakavod, motzi'in et ha'adam min ha'olam. Jealousy, lust, and honor remove a person from this world. Ladies, these three negative character traits is what removes a person from this world. Because from these three traits, the three poisonous drops are created. And that's what the Malach HaMavet injects into the mouth of a person at the end of his life, lo alenu. Therefore, a person should run away as far as possible from these three negative midot, because all they do is harm you and it brings destruction. Ladies, from here we learn that the death sentence that was decreed on all of mankind came about because of the sin of the Etz Hadat, the tree of knowledge. The sin took place because of the Ayin Ra that Adam and Chava had, that they desired with their eyes what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said isn't good for them. They felt the lust for something they couldn't have, and this was their downfall. Says the Ari HaKadosh Alav HaShalom, embedded within the neshama of Adam and Chava were all the neshamot that were destined to come down to this world. All these neshamot, you, me, and the rest of the world, we were all there inside the neshama of Adam and Chava. And that's why death affects every single one of us, every person, because every neshama was present inside of Adam and Chava when they ate from that tree. And that affected all of mankind. So we experience death because of Ayin Ra, because of the first Ayin Ra. So Pele Plaot, ladies, is amazing. I want to hear everybody's comments, by the way. Everybody email me about what you think. Ladies, this is why Rav said that 99% of people die from the Ayin Ra. Because the majority of the neshamot were there in Gan Eden together with Adam and Chava. And now, because of the sin of the Etz Hadat, these neshamot are susceptible to dying from an Ayin Hara. Which Ayin Hara? Which Ayin Hara? The Ayin Hara that causes you to see and to desire what isn't yours. Until today we suffer from this makkah, ladies. Chachamim say, Ha'ayin ro'a ve'alev chomed. The eye sees and the heart all of a sudden desires. So ladies, if 99% die from Ayin Hara and only 1% die from natural causes, don't you want to know who is this 1%? Who's this one? Chachamim say, this one is the one who did the tikkun and corrected his chelik, corrected his part in the sin of the Etz Hadat. Who is this one who corrected? Who is this tzaddik who corrected his chelik in the sin of the Etz Hadat? Chachamim tell us, that one was Yosef HaTzaddik. Oh, years later, ladies, Yosef HaTzaddik comes along and he's placed in a situation exactly like Adam in Gan Eden. Eshet Potiphar was like the Etz Hadat. She was like the forbidden fruit. Yosef didn't allow the Yetzer Hara to overcome him or to trap him. He turned away and his eyes didn't desire what didn't belong to him. At the moment that he did this, Chachamim say, he made the tikkun for his chelek in the sin of the Etz Hadat. That's the one who dies from natural causes, meaning all the ones who follow in the ways of the one who corrected the sin of the Etz Hadat, they have the zchut to die of natural causes and not from the Ayin Hara. You hear this, ladies? Now we can understand the wisdom of Rav, who wanted to see who in the cemetery died of natural causes, and who died from Ainara? He dafka planted trees near the graves because he wanted to see which person did the tikkun for the tzaddat. He wanted to see which person still had the influence of the tzaddat and was jealous, ran after kavod, and after his desires. If flowers didn't grow on that tree, it was a siman that those people still had within them, these bad midot, still back from Gan Eden. And they didn't manage to correct it in their lifetime. That means that their death must have been caused by the Ayin Hara. But the trees that grew with flowers was a siman that those people managed to correct these negative characteristic traits, these bad midot. And if they died, it was because of natural causes. Ladies, do you know what we learned from all of this? How vigilant we have to be against the likes of the Yetzer Hara. We have to be careful not to fall prey to his schemes. We have to steer clear of jealous feelings, of lustful thoughts, and of chasing after kavod. We have to develop an ayin tova and to feel a happiness when our friends succeed and when they rise in levels of ruhaniyut and gashmiyut. Even more than this, we should daven for our friends' success. And Be'ezrat Hashem, in this chut, we'll all be zeicha to be called descendants of Yosef HaTzadik, the one, and will be spared from the Ayin Hara, and ultimately will be zeicha to all the berachot min hashamayim. Amen. Ken yehi ratzon.